invite you to turn your Bibles, to Isaiah chapter 63, as we continue on in this of Edom and the man Esau. We're dealing with background in the scripture and historically about this man and the nation that resulted from him. The nation that resulted from Esau was a promise unto brother Abraham. Because of Abraham would come nations, the Lord said. And we are heading for the one chapter book of Obadiah. But do well for us to get this background and the contents of the scripture regarding it, just to have a full view of this regarding Esau and Edom. I've titled these messages, No Future for the Faithless. We see that in this man, and from the human standpoint, what that brought to his lineage, to his children. And we may be tempted to think that what we do, what we say, what we stand in won't make a difference. But what one man does can make a great difference. I saw just a little blurb. Maybe you might have seen it today on one of the news outlets. Headlines showing one Holocaust survivor and their 400 descendants. They lived. The Lord blessed them to live, and they have 400 descendants just in that short time, you know, speaking as a man. And so we need to believe our Lord, and Esau's lack of faith had a great, great impact upon his lineage. The point that we're at is about the destruction of Edom, and we're at the point where that was brought about by the Babylonians or the Chaldeans. There's a psalm that we read last time about how the psalmist proclaims and beseeches the Lord in Psalm 137, verse number 7, "Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom, in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, tear it down, even to the foundation thereof." And so the psalmist is imploring the Lord to bring justice and judgment upon those that wanted the destruction of Jerusalem. And we've taken a look at this of Nebuchadnezzar and what the Lord said about Egypt. We know Nebuchadnezzar came and took Judah into captivity, and that land of Edom and that land south of Judah where the descendants of Edom occupied was also overrun by the Chaldeans and by Nebuchadnezzar. And we came not only looking at Brother Ezekiel and what the Lord said about his promise or how he would pay Nebuchadnezzar because of what he did in Tyrus. He would give Egypt to him for a spoil. But we've come to this part about the significance of Idumea, and that is a reference to this people that is Latin, has a Latin connection or Latin origin, also a Greek origin. But I think it does speak to their dissolving. And Brother Isaiah, in the time between 170 years to go in Judah to 110 years to go, in the time of he being a prophet of the Lord, in the time of his life, as we understand it, with the kings that he was prophet there, we saw the reference not of Edom, but of Idumea and the capital city, one of the capital cities of Bozrah, and how the Lord is going to have a sacrifice there. We've got this reference here in Isaiah 63, and it's a blessed reference. It's a understanding about our Lord Jesus Christ, and again, that of judgment. And so let's take a look at this quickly, the first six verses of Isaiah 63, and see what's said here. "Who is this that cometh from Edom, with dyed garments from Bozrah? This is that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength." That's a question that's put forth. And the answer is, "I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save." Question, Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel? Why do you have red all over your garments? And thy garments like him that treadeth the wine fat, the splashing up of that. Answer, verse 3. I've trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. And so this one that's coming from Edom and from Bozrah, capital city of that nation, he is performing and meeting out the judgment of God alone. For the day of vengeance is mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And so there's contrast there. Those that are being judged and those that have been rescued. And tell you what, we as the children of the Lord look on at the judgment that's talked about and spoken about and promised in the scriptures. It helps us to remember, if we will avail ourselves to it, to study about it, to know that it's there, to learn about it. It will cause us to be more and more thankful to our Lord for his redemption for us. Because the wrath of God is the wrath of God upon sin and iniquity is more than you and I can even imagine. And so the Lord, again, in the scripture gives us these pictures. And it's the Lord that is the judge, and it is the Lord Jesus that's the Savior. And he said, it's come down to the time. There's no more waiting. There's no more long suffering. It's time for my redeemed to be brought forth unto me, and for them to be, for me to finish the rescue, if you will, and to be in that place that he prepares for us, and for his wrath to be poured out upon the wicked. And I looked, he says, the year of my redeemed has come. Verse 5, and I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger and make them drunk with my fury. We studied about that in recent time. And I will bring down their strength to the earth. All of this is yet another occasion where the Lord makes it very plain and very clear that all will know that he is the Lord. There'll be no doubt. There'll be no wondering. It won't just be a rumble over in a far land that those around the other side of the globe will wonder about. Who's doing that? But all will know. And so the reference here is this of Edom and Bozrah. And I've mentioned to you my thoughts about that. Is it a figurative thing? And just to understand this great condemnation of the Lord upon Edom? Or is it telling about literally in that day when the Lord goes to fight, will there be a contingent down in the south, southeast that he will fight with too in the great battle of Armageddon and his coming to save Israel in that? And so here in Isaiah, he does speak about Edom rather than Idumea. Then we want to come over here to the book of Ezekiel chapter 35. And remember, Isaiah is a prophet during the time of four kings in Judah, up to around just a little bit more than 100 years before Judah is dispersed and taken away by Nebuchadnezzar. But Ezekiel is a prophet that's in the time of the Babylonian captivity. So he's later than Isaiah. And so let's read this chapter quickly. And I know we've got a thread of ice tonight and all that, and we've got business meeting. And so we'll take a look at some of this, may not be able to cover all of it. Ezekiel is a prophet in the time of the Babylonian captivity. We understand that the Babylonian captivity lasted for 70 years. Seems like Ezekiel is a prophet on the front end of that, when the people have been taken captive, and many of them do not know why. And so that's the reason the prophet has been sent. And he says here in chapter 35, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, and brother Ezekiel, he said, the Lord has spoken unto me, son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir. And so we've seen in the scriptures how it is Mount Seir that is given to Esau. And Israel was, in the day of the dividing of the land, was to have none of it. He got it well before Israel even became a nation or was settled in the land of Canaan as a nation. And while Israel was down in Egypt for those years, hundreds of years. And the Lord says, it's time to set your face against Mount Seir and prophesy against it and say unto it, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O Mount Seir, I am against thee. Now, how would you like to hear that? The Lord say, I am against thee. It's no good. There's no future in that, is there, if the Lord is against one? He says, I am against thee, and I will stretch out mine hand against thee, and I will make thee most desolate. And when we're talking about desolation, it's talking about wiping out everything. Wiping out even not only the people that are there and the substance that is there, but even the memory that is there. Desolation. I will lay thy cities waste, like ghost towns. We see about ghost towns sometimes in the movies where they've just cities that have been abandoned and westerns and stuff. I will make lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate. Why? What's the purpose? And thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Not the gods that you followed after, not the gods that your fathers followed after, but the God that your father, Esau, denied, did not receive in his way, and the God that brought word to his grandfather that he did not receive, even though he was an elder son. Esau has responsibility in this. Because thou hast had a perpetual hatred, and hast shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity. So now it's made very, very clear what the Lord's thinking is. They had, the children of Israel, my nation, the Lord says, had a calamity, and you did not help in it. Your own brother, you did not help. In the time that their iniquity had an end. So we have some understanding about that, don't we? Because Israel, Judah, the southern part of the divided kingdom, came to an end as that nation when Nebuchadnezzar took her captive. It's over. Oh, there might be a puppet governor or a puppet king, as there was for a while, until the Jews just kept on rebelling and kept on rebelling. And then there was they're coming in there and just wiping it out, destroying the city. That's been the reputation of Jerusalem for millennia, of a people that will not be ruled. And always trouble for those that try to rule it. Okay? And there's a purpose in that. But he said, you had perpetual hatred. We've looked at that and considered that conflict between the brothers that no doubt spread to the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, and on and on and on. Then when Israel became established as a nation and had kings, then there was the warfare between them, the domination of Israel, the domination of the divided kingdom, the southern part of the divided kingdom, the meddling within Edom of even the northern tribes. It just went on and on and on. And control back and forth, control, fighting, warfare, bloodshed, and that hatred, the Lord said, you had against my nation. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will prepare thee unto blood, and blood shall pursue thee, sith thou hast not hated blood, even blood shall pursue thee. And this word sith is saying like we would say a sense or seeing that, okay? Seeing that thou hast not hated blood, even blood shall pursue thee. They were a warring people. We remember about how it was with Esau, how 400 men that he came with to greet his brother. I mean, Jacob was afraid, and well, he should have been afraid. And that was the way of even the founder, the beginning of the nation. Thus will I make Mount Seir most desolate, and cut off from it him that passeth out and him that returneth. I'll cut off the ones that leave and those that come back. And I will fill his mountains with slain, and thy hills, and in thy valleys, and in all thy rivers. shall they fall that are slain with the sword. There will come a sword upon the land, and there will be great defeat and great bloodshed. I will make thee perpetual desolations. They'll go on and on and on. I wonder about this region, you know, Mount Seir and what's going on down there. If I'm not mistaken, it's a desert place. Besides the curse that the Lord's brought upon the land of Israel that was given to them, the land of Canaan, Palestinia, if they don't irrigate, not much grows. And the Lord has blessed them, given them great ability to be able to grow. They feed that part of the world and more. Israel does. That's an interesting thing. But down there, down south of the Dead Sea, until you get down there to that city that's right there on that right hand, that eastern finger of the Red Sea, there at the top of the Gulf, it's just desolate. It is desolate. Just because, and it's that way because the Lord said He would make it that way. I will make thee perpetual desolations, and thy city shall not return, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. You know, there's doubt. Those the Arabs that live there and the different peoples that live there and have come through there and dominated, that many of them have not considered about the Lord. But I tell you what, when the Lord makes all things evident, when He makes all things plain, when this of glory and of heaven is brought and revealed to this which is on this earth, it will be known that He is the Lord. Because thou hast said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine. Because you said, I'm going to claim this. I'm going to go and take this. And we will possess it. That's what Edom said. Whereas the Lord was there, you chose a nation and a place that was mine. You picked the wrong place to go and try to dominate. So that it's indicative of that and reflective of that warfare that Edom engaged upon the Lord's land, upon Israel, upon Judah. Whereas the Lord was there. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will even do according to thine anger and according to thy envy, which thou hast used out of thy hatred against them. You hear those words? I will even do according to thine anger. So there was anger, bitter anger in this controversy between the two, according to thine envy. Yeah, I mentioned to you, could it be that the children, the descendants of Esau, he being the eldest and understanding in that culture about who inherits such and all that, and we got this little old land and Israel got all that? That should have been ours. A man speaking. They were jealous. They were envious of the Lord's people. They were envious of Jacob. And he said they hated them. They envied them and hatred against them. There in the latter part of verse 11, and I will make myself known among them when I have judged thee. When I judge you, Edom, my own will know me. I will use you for Israel, my own, my son, to know me. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, and that I have heard all thy blasphemies which thou hast spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are laid desolate, they are given us to consume. And so this kind of speaks about the time when enemies would come in, and then ultimately this of Nebuchadnezzar coming in. That there's opportunity. It's opportunity for us to go up and take a spoil. They're being defeated, and Jerusalem is being taken over. They don't have time to meddle with us. Historically, it's even believed and thought that Edom, the remnants of Edom, were willing to aid, and we'll read this in Obadiah, but willing to aid the Chaldeans in the pursuit of the Jews. Or they would stand in the way as the Jews would be fleeing and just hold them up from running from the Chaldeans. They are laid desolate. They are given us to consume. Because you have spoken that against the mountains of Israel, I'm going to deal with you. Verse 13, thus with your mouth have you boasted against me and have multiplied your words against me. I have heard them, the Lord says. Thus saith the Lord God, when the whole earth rejoiceth, I will make thee desolate. Wow. The earth is going to be rejoicing. And whatever this time is, and Edom is still going to be desolate. Isn't that something? There's a statement that will come upon in the scriptures that we'll be looking at going forward. And it makes something that we read in the New Testament very clear and an understanding, gives us understanding, I believe, about it. When the whole earth rejoiceth, I will make thee desolate. Verse 15, as thou didst rejoice at the inheritance, as thou didst rejoice at the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate, you rejoiced when she became desolate, when my nation became desolate, I think ultimately because of the Chaldeans, because of Nebuchadnezzar, so will I do unto thee. So see, when the psalmist said that the psalmist says, remember, Lord, when they said about Jerusalem, raise it, tear it down, tear it down, tear it down. Don't forget that. Well, the Lord hadn't forgot that. And because you were happy and rejoicing when Israel was suffering and being brought down because of her sins, so will I do unto thee. Thou shalt be desolate, O Mount Seir, and all Idumea, even all of it, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So we have this reference here to Idumea and this prophecy given to Brother Ezekiel regarding Esau, his people, and that land. We come here to the next chapter, and I think we have time to touch on this. And so let's read this here, and it continues on. And there's a contrast between the heathen and the Lord's people, and what the Lord says he's doing and what he will do. Also, thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel and say, so he turns his attention to the mountains of Israel. He's mentioned about them. Esau or Edom, Idumea has been jealous of that. Mount Seir is the reference mainly here in the previous chapter. And that's talking about Esau and his people. He says, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel and say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy hath said against you, aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. And so in this chapter, we can hear more of what the enemy has said, and not only Seir, not only Edom, but other enemies. They would say, the ancient high places are ours in possession. Why? Because they're being brought down. They're being brought low. Therefore prophesy and say, he's speaking to Israel, speaking to his children, thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that you might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen, and ye are taken up in the lips of the talkers. There's gossip going on in the region about how Judah's done. Those Israelites, those Jews, they're done. They're taken off captive. We don't have to mess with them. They become a topic of discussion, a topic of derision, not only amongst Edom, but others, and are an infamy to the people. Because, see, Israel used to be the nation back in Solomon's day. There was no nation greater in that day than Israel. The world came and wondered at this nation that had such a great God that had done such marvelous things for them. And now it's infamy, an infamy of the people. Therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains and to the hills and to the rivers and to the valleys and to the desolate waste and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and derision to the residue of the heathen, then that are round about. Everything that is mine, everything Israel, everything Jacob, every city, every land, every place, every person. Listen, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen and against all Idumea, which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their heart. So they've been joyful. They've been joyful about my judgment of you. And despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. So he says, I have defended you. I will deal with them. Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel and say unto the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers and to the valleys, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury because ye have borne the shame of the heathen. See, the Lord used the heathen to judge the nation. But he makes it clear that he's going to take those nations that he used and he's going to judge them for what they've done. Well, that just doesn't seem fair. You're not dealing with a man. We're dealing with God. God's dealing with us, rather. Therefore, verse 7, thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up my hand. Surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their shame. I will bring it back upon them. Verse 8. But ye mountains, but ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel. For they are at hand to come. He said, I will raise you up. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown. And I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it. And the city shall be inhabited, and the waste shall be builded. And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit. And I will settle you after your old estates. I will do better unto you than at your beginnings, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be their inheritance, and thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men. There'll be no more warfare. There'll be no more killing. I'm going to bring peace. The Lord will bring peace that will last. Thus saith the Lord God, because they say unto you, thou land devourest up men and hast bereaved thy nations. Therefore thou shalt devour men no more, neither bereave thy nations any more, saith the Lord. The fighting is over. The warfare, the using, the conquering of you and the conquering of others and chastisement, it's done. Neither will I cause men to hear in thee the shame of the heathen anymore, so you're not even going to be talked about in a bad way anymore. Neither shalt thou bear the reproach of the people anymore when they're brought low, when they're lined up and taken off into captivity. And it doesn't matter if they've got clothes on or not, Brother Isaiah says. They're going to be taken in their nakedness, taken without their stuff. They're just driven like cattle. Not anymore, the Lord says. Not even that. None of that. Neither shalt thou cause thy nations to fall anymore, saith the Lord God. Moreover, So the Lord is told what he's going to do for his nation. He's told in the previous chapter about his judgment upon this one nation of Edom, Mount Seir. And then listen to this. Listen to this. We can cover this, I believe. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured out my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered into the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord that are going forth out of his land. So he says it was judgment. He says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bring you back. And understand, this is Ezekiel talking to a captive people. So this is a laying out of judgment of the other nations that the Lord used and that beat up on Israel and chastised Israel, the blessing of Israel, and why the judgment came, okay? Verse 21. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this, your rescue, for your sakes. Isn't that interesting? And we know the Lord is pitiful. We know the Lord is compassionate. And he is. But he says, I'm not doing this for you. I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned amongst the heathen whither you went. You know, it's by the grace and the mercy and the love of the Lord that we are his. I tell you what, we need to thank him and value that and not be heady, not be high-minded, not be proud of what we've accomplished for the Lord or what's been done. We just need to be a thankful people. If we stand, it's because of the Lord. And his name to be glorified is the number one thing. Now, listen, we enjoy and we are thankful for being rescued. And we preach such to sinners. But the greatest thing that there is the glorification of our Lord. And he makes that clear here. I'm going to do you good. I'm going to do you better than I did for you at the beginning. Why? His nation. Where do other nations stand in that? They stand in great jeopardy of judgment and obliteration and desolation, especially if they have come and meddled with his nation. Verse 23, I will sanctify my great name. I'll set it apart, which was profaned amongst the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. He's rebuking them. He's told them his deliverance. And you can you imagine? We need to think about it. It's good for us to like put ourselves in that place. Not that we need to be disobedient or that, but the graciousness of the Lord has not been upon Edom. But the graciousness of the Lord has been upon Israel. Even though Israel did as bad or worse than the heathen nations, they are his. And he will bring them back and do good unto them. That's the faithfulness of our Lord. We need to be faithful to him. We need to learn from these things that are written here in the book. And I will sanctify my great name, verse 23, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God. When I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. I'll do it right there before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries. I will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you an heart of flesh. And praise God for a Lord and a Savior that can do such a thing. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. You won't have any need for lack of food. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings, repentance that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. They'll look on him whom they pierced, and they'll mourn. And we should mourn over our sin too. Ask the Lord to forgive us and to cleanse us. Not for your sakes do I do this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and in the waste shall be builded. And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. Why? Because the touch of the Lord. And the waste and the desolate and the ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. How can this be? The blessing of the Lord. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it. I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it. Pray to me to do it. Seek my face to do it. I'll be inquired of you. But I won't be inquired of it by the heathen. But I'll be inquired of it by you. To do it for them, I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in their solemn feast. And see, what does that mean to the Jew? The animals laid up, penned up to be checked out for blemish. I'll lay you up like that. The best of the best. I'll make you the best of the best. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And so, Idumea, the dissolving of a nation, the end of Edom. And we'll take a look at more of that, the final part of that next time. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful thing to be saved. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to be the Lord's. There's nothing greater. Nothing that touches eternity like that touches eternity. Because it is eternal and it is in our Lord. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. He's the only way. He's the only way that you may not be counted amongst the heathen, but to be counted amongst the Lord's people. Blessing, forgiveness, a future. There's no future for the faithless, but there is a future for the Lord's people, those that rest and trust in Him in every way.